Today on Straight Talk Africa, a frank conversation with Dr. Riek Machar, the chairman of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, commander-in-chief, Sudan People's Liberation Army in opposition forces, and the first vice president designate of South Sudan. We'll discuss the challenges of implementing the August IGAD Plus Blockade Peace Accord, aimed at ending the 20 months of fighting in the world's newest nation. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, October 7th. I am Shaka Sali.
And welcome back, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Thank you, Mariama. And today we'll talk about the challenges facing the implementation of the recent South Sudanese peace agreement.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on the topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
Thanks, Mariama. But first, my colleague Paul Ondiho has the latest regarding the recent South Sudan peace accord.
Citing a new window of opportunity for peace in South Sudan, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon last week called on all parties to demonstrate a genuine commitment to the peace agreement, signed last August by immediately halting military operations and forming the transitional government of national unity.
I urge the signatories to honor their solemn commitment and implement the agreement without delay.
Speaking at a high-level meeting on South Sudan held on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly, the Secretary General noted that it's a pivotal moment in the history of the world's youngest nation. He noted that long-term reforms are essential for South Sudan to transcend ethnicity and rebuild a truly national identity.
Horrific crimes have been committed against the civilians in this war. The social fabric of South Sudan has been shattered. To mend it, the provisions in the peace agreement related to justice, accountability, and reconciliation must be implemented in full.
Addressing the meeting via video link, President Salva Kiir stated that he had signed the agreement with some reservations, which he said were not meant to be conditions, but indicators of problem areas that the parties involved needed to address to facilitate a credible implementation of the peace accord.
I am deeply committed to the full and timely implementation of the agreement, and I have the moral and constitutional responsibility to restore peace and development for my people.
The South Sudanese leader called on those gathered at the meeting to prevail on the armed groups so that they can respect the permanent ceasefire and assist in the successful implementation of the agreement.
I am determined to stop this senseless war and make sure that together with my brothers in the armed opposition, we will build a democratic, united, and harmonious country by implementing the agreement.
Dr. Riek Machar, the first vice president designate, attended in person as diplomats from several countries urged both sides to end a conflict that has killed thousands and displaced millions. Reacting to President Salva Kiir's speech, Riek Machar called on him to remove his reservations.
I am disappointed that he did not come in person. But it would have been important if he came and interacted, and it would have been a chance between me and him to discuss how issues, how do we get to Juba and all that. He still talks of reservations, that he signed the peace agreement with reservations. This gives people doubts of his seriousness to implement the peace agreement. And in my speech I said he should drop those reservations.
Last week, President Salva Kiir signed a decree establishing 28 new states. He said that his decision was guided by the transitional constitution and to decentralize power. But opposition leader Riek Machar says President Kiir's decision to establish 28 new states is a violation of the recently signed peace agreement. He further called for the immediate withdrawal from South Sudan of all foreign troops. Paul Ndihau, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. But first, my colleague, John Tanza Mabusu, managing editor and host of South Sudan In Focus, sat down with South Sudanese Vice President James Wani Iga Tuesday in Washington to discuss, among other things, the government's commitment to the peace deal.
About the implementation of the agreement, yes, on the 26th of August, our president signed actually the agreement. And the following day, immediately, which was on the 27th of the same month, he declared the permanent ceasefire. He ordered the army, the bulk of the army, to start moving outside Juba, according to the provisions of the agreement, in which they were supposed to relocate up to the radius of 25 kilometers around Juba or outside Juba. This they've already started, but of course there are obvious what we call difficulties there. You are going to open basically barracks under trees. So the agreement is really going on well. Around the 13th of August, there was a very important conference, workshop in Addis Ababa, as to how to proceed with the implementation of the ceasefire or the security arrangements. We agreed virtually on all the points, over 95% of the issues. But then when it came to the issue of the force to be to remain in Juba on the government side to protect the government, which is actually called in the agreement the presidential guards, and to us it is to something to the tune of 5,000. Our brothers in the opposition jump out. They say no. If this be the case, they also want to have a similar size of the force. But the agreement does not say anything like that.
On Friday, President Salva Kiir issued a provisional order for establishment of 28 states. Configuring the other 10 and creating additional 18. And the rebels have cried foul that this is not what they had agreed on. They say the peace agreement talks about 10 states. How is this going to affect the peace agreement?
Yeah, this is a good question. To me, really, it is not in any way affect the peace agreement, as a matter of fact. First of all, you measure the reception of this on the ground. It is highly received on the ground. You know our people, they want devolution of power to the ground. The reports we are getting is that there are dances everywhere, celebrations everywhere in the whole country. I think it's welcome by almost everybody, really. Even when I came here, we went and held rallies with South Sudanese here. In Kansas, it were thousands of them there. They were also dancing, celebrating over this news. I proceeded to Arizona. I came from Arizona yesterday, actually. Also the same celebration, jubilations, and all that.
There are people at home who feel that South Sudan has been isolated. If there's one message you want to give them after returning from overseas, what would that message be?
I would like to say that South Sudan, if isolated, it is not by the whole international community, because I was in New York. People talk very favorably about South Sudan. All they want is that let peace prevail. So with this agreement and with the peace program in front of us and the metrics of how we implement the agreement in place, and we need, of course, their financial support, I think that really, instead of being skeptical, the international community and our people should now stand together so that collectively we really implement this. We reconcile among ourselves, and we enter into development and service to our people.
Very interesting interview with the South Sudanese Vice President James Wani Iga. John, he talks, of course, about the recent decree by President Salva Kiir for creating 28 states, and says that it has been overwhelmingly received back in the country. To what extent is that celebration that he talks about spontaneous, or is it in fact organized or orchestrated by the government?
Well, these celebrations are happening depending on where you are. There are some people who are not happy, especially like people in Eastern Equatoria are not happy. They are saying they deserve more states. There are people in other parts of South Sudan are happy. So it depends where you are. I would not call it a nationwide celebration.
What about the fact that the man in the studio today, Dr. Riek Machar himself, about a year ago, did about the same thing, frankly. The last time I checked, he issued a decree claiming to create 21 federal states. Did it receive this sort of reaction?
When the SPLM in opposition came out publicly talking about federalism, it was welcomed by everybody in the country. Majority of people were saying they want a system where the powers are in the hands of the people, because as it is now in South Sudan, all powers are with the central government. Powers is in Juba, and hence you have the pull factor. Everybody wants to come to Juba because that's where government jobs are, that's where services are. And so when the SPLM in opposition came with a program of federalism, it gained a lot of popularity. In fact, the government actually wanted all the radio stations in Juba not to talk about federalism. And it's a little bit surprising that they are now advocating for it.
It's a sort of journey come lately. What else specifically, if anything, really, did you learn during yesterday's interview with the Vice President?
He didn't say anything new. What he has been saying is what Juba is saying, what other politicians like the government spokesperson Michael Makwe has been saying, that this decision is popular and it is in line with the constitution. But we spoke to a legal expert with South Sudan Law Society who said that the decision is unconstitutional because the president has no powers to create new states, neither does he have powers to create boundaries or change boundaries of states or name states. The expert said the powers to create new states and change any boundaries lies with the state council, the Council of States. It's the Council of States to make any decision if you want to have a new state. It's the Council of States to make any decision if you want to change names. It's not the president as it is right now.
What about the issue of demilitarizing Juba? What specifically did he really say about it, other than talking about needing resources in order to help expedite that?
He said that they could not agree with the rebels of the SPLM in opposition on the composition of the forces in Juba. He said the government is suggesting 5,000 troops to be in Juba, but the SPLM in opposition is saying it should only be 3,000. And he's saying the 3,000 is not what was agreed on. But the agreement was silent on the numbers of the troops to man Juba. And this 5,000 that is coming out, it's not in the agreement anywhere. But the agreement was saying the two parties will sit down and agree on the number of troops to man Juba. That is police. And if they are to have 5,000 troops in Juba, that negates the essence of demilitarizing Juba.
What about the troops who are supposed to be taking positions in Juba, troops from Rwanda, Kenya, and Ethiopia? Do you have any information as to whether, in fact, they are ready to take their positions?
2 weeks ago, the presidential spokesperson, Atenyue Kateny, came public saying the Ugandan troops are going to withdraw from South Sudan. When? He was not able to answer when. He just said they're going to withdraw from South Sudan. And when we asked about the other forces that were fighting alongside with the government, you know, there were credible reports that rebels of the SPLA North and other Darfur groups were fighting alongside with the government of South Sudan. The government spokesperson, Michael Makuei, denied that the rebels of Darfur and the SPLA North were not fighting alongside with them. In fact, Makuei was saying the SPLA in opposition should come and show them where these rebels from Sudan are so that they can repatriate them to Sudan.
Well, thank you very much, John Tanza, for your insight.
Thank you, Shaka.
Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag at VOA South Sudan Peace. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Here are a few of the key points of the 72-page South Sudan peace agreement deal that the South Sudanese government signed on August 26, 2015. Fighting was to have ended immediately with a permanent ceasefire beginning 72 hours after signing. Military forces have 30 days to gather for separation, assembly, and confinement to barracks with their weapons secured in storage. All foreign forces in the war must leave within 45 days, with the exception of Western Equatoria State, based on agreement entered into by the government of South Sudan prior to the onset of the December 15, 2013 crisis. No troops are allowed closer than 25 kilometers to Juba. Only presidential guards, police, and guard forces protecting infrastructure can remain in the city. The deal gives the opposition the post of first vice president alongside the current VP. Signatories must take responsibility for the war, apologizing unconditionally for the tens of thousands killed in a conflict marked by widespread atrocities on both sides.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart. And joining us here in our Washington studios is our distinguished guest, Dr. Riek Machar, the chairman of SPLM in opposition and the first vice president designate of South Sudan. I have to say, frankly, that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you again on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka. It's a long time since we last met.
You're most welcome, except that the more we talk about the struggle of Sudan and now South Sudan, it looks a little bit interesting because, frankly, Riek Machar seems to be the only constant.
Thank you.
You're most welcome, sir.
Thank you a lot.
Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guest. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. Now, you heard, obviously, earlier that President Salva Kiir has some reservations. He still retains some reservations in as far as the peace deal is concerned, which, of course, he appended his signature on, I remember, August 26.
Yes.
Do you think he is sincere? He's the kind of person that you think you can actually do business with and together help to restore peace and stability in your homeland?
Shaka, this issue of reservations, which President Salva Kiir has expressed many times, first before he signed, first on the 17th of August, the day he witnessed us sign the peace agreement, and when also when he went to Juba, the day he signed the peace agreement on the 26th, he also stated before the heads of state and government of IGAD that he was having reservations. In a press conference again on the 15th of September, he also did express his reservations. And when we were invited to New York, he declined to come. I came in person. He opted to talk to the heads of state and government and the UN Secretary General through video conference. And he stated again that he has reservations. I am so concerned about his constant statement on the reservations. I would actually call on my brother, Salva Kiir, the president, to drop these reservations so that our people in South Sudan wholeheartedly embrace the peace agreement. Peace agreement was, although most of it is what we discussed, but finally IGAD had no choice but to impose it. It has not met our minimum, but we have told the whole world that this peace agreement, we can live with it. We can restore peace. We can restore stability to South Sudan. And I think President Salva Kiir should drop these reservations so that we move forward to implementation of the peace agreement. I think because of his statement that he has reservations, he's now beginning to make mistakes. For example, acting unilaterally, declaring 28 states. This is a unilateral action, which if he had accepted, because we raised these issues during the negotiations, we, as far as end of December 2014, we ourselves in SPLM, SPLA, declared 21 states, you know, and we tabled this at the negotiations. We wanted to resolve this matter once and for all, but he was not ready.
He rejected it.
He rejected it. Even the mediators were on his side. They rejected it. Now we're surprised. 5 days ago, he made this declaration.
But what about some of your critics, Riek Machar, who also say you pretty much did the same thing last year without, in fact, consultations. You also issued a sort of a decree of 21 federal states. And therefore, in their words, not mine, they find it very difficult to believe, frankly, that you have the moral or ideological justification to condemn or criticize President Salva Kiir for doing the same thing.
I am criticizing President Salva Kiir for taking a unilateral action. I am not criticizing him for the number of states. I said he took a unilateral action when he knows very well that during the negotiations before IGAD, he refused the 21 states. He maintained the 10 states. He allowed IGAD to confirm the 10 states in it. They threw out our suggestion of 21 states.
Mm.
So it is not the numbers that we are criticizing. It is the principle of acting unilaterally, violating the peace agreement. But let me criticize the 28 states. We criticize the 28 states on the basis that they will fuel a new conflict, borders conflict. The 21 states have no basis. The 28 states have no basis. While the 21 states, which we declare have basis, the 21 states which we declare are based on the former British colonial districts, which had borders delineated, demarcated. The 21 states, you will see if you look at his order, he has made an order for disputes, border disputes committee. He recognizes that there shall be disputes. These disputes would be detrimental, you know.
But I don't think that the decree is going to stand because it has actually been harshly criticized by the Troika, who are, of course, the United States, United Kingdom and Norway, and, of course, which is part of the IGAD Plus. They have also been, it has also been criticized by the European Union.
True. And they criticize it on the basis that this is not the number of states agreed in the peace agreement. It's 10. I want to repeat. They threw out our suggestion of 21 states based on the British colonial districts, former colonial districts. Now, if he knew that our argument for creation of more states was that powerful,
mm-hmm.
Why did he not accept it at the negotiations? You know, we would now in this agreement, I brought with me a copy of the agreement, in this agreement, we would have 21 states with borders, or we would, on our side, we don't want to engage in creation of states which will have no historical rationale.
I remember that, in fact, there was a time when you had a meeting at State House Nairobi with Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta.
Yes.
And when it came to the issue of federalism, he didn't want to deal.
No.
Could it be possible, perhaps, that his views have since evolved, or perhaps he didn't like the fact that the initiative came from your side?
You know, I am happy if his views have evolved. I wouldn't criticize him for his views have evolved. His views have evolved for creation of more states. I applaud that. But the states must have a historical basis. We provided a historical basis because the British colonial districts were accepted by South Sudanese. In it, they were comfortable with it. They would not be strange.
Were they, in fact, accepted by the people of South Sudan, or were they, in fact, imposed by the British?
When they imposed them, the people, not people of South Sudan alone, but also the whole Sudan, accepted those districts. And let me talk particularly about the South. The South accepted them. They were the South Sudan used to be three provinces. And each province was composed of a number of districts. In Equatoria, there were 6. In Bahar Ghazal, there were 7. In Upper Nile, there were 9.
I hate to say it, but time is not our best ally, Dr. Riek Machar,
yes.
Because apparently there is no democracy in Studio 52. If your producer says to go, you have to go like a soldier.
Right.
You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa, and we'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariam Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Facebook fan who responded to our question of the week.
Mohamed Ahmed Mansour from Monrovia, Liberia writes, I think the international community should call on both parties to embrace an unequivocal commitment to accountability for atrocities committed during the conflict to ensure a lasting peace. The international community should do more to help the suffering people of South Sudan. I would like the international community to remain vigilant in making sure that both sides uphold the terms of peace.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiyuwat, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Thanks, Shaka. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has urged both sides of the South Sudan conflict to reaffirm their commitment to a peace agreement. Mr. Ban held a high-level meeting last week at the UN General Assembly, in New York, emphasizing the need to immediately halt military operations and to begin forming the transitional government of national unity. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, asking, what can the international community do to ensure the implementation of the South Sudan Peace Agreement? Well, we're going to open with Twitter reactions today. So another reminder that we are tweeting live. Use the hashtag VOA South Sudan Peace. And if you haven't yet, please do follow us on Twitter. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Simon, who writes, the people of South Sudan should be involved since they know the root causes of the problem, even the appropriate means to address it. Let's take a look at another tweet from Martin Nyalusi, this time, who writes, more efforts should be done by the African Union and the East African community members in order to bring normalcy and avoid more bloodshed. Well, now let's go to a Facebook comment from Ibrahim Magara in Kampala, Uganda, who makes these points. Having a strong UN and AU-backed monitoring mechanism to ensure that both parties comply, fostering speedy implementation and ensuring that external forces fighting for unknown reasons pull out of South Sudan. Well, a lot of good advice here, but how do you implement? It is certainly the million-dollar question. And today's topic, Shaka and Dr. Machar, your take on these reactions.
Very interesting. How do you react to that, Riek Machar?
Well, we are committed to implementation of the peace agreement which we signed on the 17th August this year. And that is why I accepted to come in person and participate in the high-level meeting at the UN in New York. Mm-hmm. We also volunteered to tell the meeting that there are challenges that need to be addressed. First, security challenges. Cuba needs to be demilitarized. The three states, capitals, and any other major town which we would agree on
need to be demilitarized. So that even for the people who are now under the UN protection in the camps, so that they can come out. With the current situation, that is not possible. So demilitarization of Juba, the capital, and other towns is important. Second, ensuring that the ceasefire holds is very important, Shaka. If you map, since the day 23rd January 2014, when we signed the cessation of hostilities, if you were to map the positions of the two parties, you will find that the government every day is advancing, trying to gain territories, even after the ceasefire was declared by the both parties.
Are you surprised by that?
I am surprised because we have signed an agreement.
You have signed an agreement, but there are people who have said, Riek Machar, that signing an agreement is one thing. But when it comes to implementation, it's a new ball game. In fact, there are people who have gone to the extent of suggesting that the signing of that agreement by the president of South Sudan and you, Dr. Riek Machar, is like a couple planning a marriage while concentrating on divorce. How do you react to that?
Look, I want the peace agreement implemented. The peace agreement has challenges. Security challenges, internally, as I said. The second security challenge is ensuring that the Ugandan forces withdraw on time as scheduled. They should be out of South Sudan by the 10th of this month, in 3 days, except for the forces that were deployed by the AU to handle the issue of LRA in Western Equatoria. Although, in my discussion with President Museveni in Khartoum, we all agreed that there was no LRA in South Sudan. Yes. Even the need for them to be in South Sudan, to me, is not justifiable. He said the LRA might infiltrate back. The LRA is already degraded.
And if there are any elements remaining, they are probably in the Central African Republic or the DRC.
Yeah.
Well,
no, he even said they're not in the DRC. They would be in the Central African Republic.
Very interesting.
So security issues, we need to resolve them so that before the deadline of the 90 days. The other is that President Salva should assure the whole world that he has dropped the reservations, because his actions would be read even if they were intended good, they had good intention. They would be read from suspicion mind that, oh, this is because of the reservations. Like the 28 states, you know.
We'll give you an opportunity to talk to him direct, just in case he may be watching. Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with us, please?
Yes, indeed. Shaka, let's move on to a posting from Johnny Samuel from Juba in South Sudan, who writes that the past cannot be altered and trust cannot be regained. All that South Sudanese need is real leadership. If the government and the rebels fail to implement the peace agreement, the international community should stand with the people of South Sudan to change the history and restore their lost happiness. Enough is enough. Well, that's what he writes. Let's take a look at another comment. This time comes from Lucky Imohimi in Abuja, Nigeria, who also says, enough of all this peace talk, meetings, ratifications, and all that. What we need in South Sudan now is peace. Leaders from all the warring camps must swallow their pride and let South Sudan be. The leaders should go back to history and learn vital lessons of life from it. To the warring leaders, I say, please, please give peace a chance. Shaka, I have some goosebumps really reading these calls for peace from these two followers and many others that we couldn't share today. Your take.
Thank you very much. And Dr. Riek Machar? It's all yours.
Well, I agree with that person. What we need now is peace. Implement the peace.
And how is that kind of peace defined, Dr. Riek Machar? Are we talking about
it's here.
A peace?
It's here.
Simply because perhaps there is the absence of war, the absence of shooting, or the absence perhaps of conflict? Or are we talking about peace that triggers justice, triggers accountability, reconciliation, all rolled into one?
Look, this peace agreement has addressed fundamental issues, governance issues. We're moving to a federal system. This is one. Two, institutional reforms in the economy, in the security, in the justice, and in the public service, because the federalism will affect the public service. This agreement also addresses itself to transitional justice, to accountability, to national reconciliation and healing, to compensation and reparation. These are all here. I am happy also in New York, the AU Peace and Security Council at last took the courage to discuss the Obasanjo report, the AU Commission of Inquiry on South Sudan conflict. Here is now the report. It has also recommendations on institutional reform. It has recommendations on justice and accountability and national reconciliation and healing. We need this implemented. I have come to the U.S. Mm-hmm. and I am in Washington to press for the implementation of this peace agreement coupled with this report. We have challenges besides the political and the security challenges I mentioned earlier. We have challenges of resource. You know, the agreement says troops must be assembled. This needs resource. Tents, food, medicine, water.
We'll come to that later. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, that does it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. One more thing to remind you all that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Just go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. I think you can see me right there basically doing the show live. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on this program, Straight Talk Africa will celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. We'll examine its significance to the Black American community and to the African diaspora 20 years later. That's next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. Of course, you're talking about the implementation of the peace accord. You know, it required, of course, that within 30 days, all your troops should be in the barracks. The last time I checked, they are not there.
That's true.
Why?
Because you assemble them. You know, the workshop which was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The two parties have agreed on locations where the troops would assemble. Our troops, government troops.
Mm-hmm.
But then, to assemble them in locations, you need at least tents, food, medicine,
mm-hmm.
water. This is not available. The U.S. has to do something. They have MREs in Djibouti or somewhere else, you know?
But
they have tents. Let them provide that so that these troops can be assembled. It is the first sign of peace.
Surely, you're not suggesting...
We can't assemble them, as said by the Vice President, James Wani, under trees. You know?
You know, if there's
that country has rains up to end of October.
If there's any country that supported the existence of your country, South Sudan, it has, frankly, to be the United States of America.
That's true.
And yet, I was reading a copy of Foreign Policy magazine, which you granted an interview yesterday, in which you said you are frustrated because, in your own words, not mine, Dr. Richard, the American officials are not supporting peace. You can't be serious.
And not supporting implementation of the peace. We need tents, then we come.
Mm-hmm.
We need tents, we need food, we need medicines, we need water in the locations where the troops are. You know, nobody is going to provide these in the world. I had a discussion with Vice President Wani. He said he has no money in Juba. And it's true, I know he has no money in Juba to support such a process. He himself said, where do we assemble troops? In the interview he did with John Tanza, under trees. This is a real dilemma.
But what about the agreement? Does it say the support, those logistics, have to come from?
He didn't say it. Not only that, there needs to be deployment of resources so that the agreement is disseminated among the 200,000 refugees who are protected by the UN in the UN protection centers.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you need resources for dissemination to the people who are displaced within the rural side of South Sudan, dissemination in the refugee camps. We have over 1 million in the four countries, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda. We have over 1 million who are displaced there. We need resources for the process of national reconciliation and healing to be kicked off. We also need resources. Our own advanced team needs to go to Juba.
You know,
the resources are not there.
One of the most ardent supporters of the creation of the new nation of South Sudan in this city is a one Dr. Susan Rice.
Sure.
The current National Security Advisor.
Sure.
You are supposed to have met her yesterday.
True.
She's supposed also to have met the South Sudanese Vice President and the SPRM Secretary General, Pagani Amam. What happened?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. I was told it was canceled. That made me furious. She should listen to our frustration. She should listen to our concerns. She should listen to the challenges in the implementation of the peace agreement. And instead of hiding, she should come out and assist us. She's for sure the most ardent supporter of South Sudan. All of us are frustrated by the fact that this senseless war was initiated. And by the way, the U.S. administration sent Gail Smith in May. We were very open to her. Her report back was, oh, let the matter be discussed by the South Sudanese themselves.
But what about a statement from the National Security Council by a spokesperson by the name Ned Price? Do you know him? No. Ned Price.
No.
He basically says that the meetings were cancelled because you and President Kiir have both demonstrated a lack of commitment to the peace process in South Sudan.
I have come. Chuck, I'm tired of this shared blame, balanced blame. When President Salva killed people in Juba, in the eyes of the international community, including the U.S. ambassador, Susan Page, 20,000 people were killed in Juba in a period from December 16 to end of December. The U.S. did not move. They took it as a non-event. What is that?
Just in
when,
case.
When 200 people were killed in Ukraine, the U.S. said that president has lost legitimacy. Salva Kiir kills over 20,000 people, and still the U.S. says he has legitimacy, he was elected. We were elected together. I was his running mate.
Dr. Machar, just in case Dr. Susan Rice was watching this show,
I would be happy.
Could you please look in that camera?
Oh, yes, I would be happy.
Direct in that camera.
A discussion,
and if you did, what would you say to her?
I would say to her, Dr. Susan, you have supported South Sudan with all your heart to become independent. You left us when things were going bad. You sent Gail Smith. She came back, gave you the report that this could be handled by the South Sudanese people. A massacre, a genocide was committed in South Sudan from 16th of December to the end of December 2013. Now we have signed a peace agreement. We want that peace agreement to be implemented. We still need your support. We need your support to support us, handle the issues, the security issues which I have raised, handle the political issues that I have also raised. We need resource deployment in order that troops can be assembled, mm-hmm. contained, and this will be the kickoff of implementation of the peace agreement. We also need support for dissemination of the peace agreement. We have internet warriors in your own country here who will create diversion if we don't talk to them. We have people who are frustrated that are living in UN protection camps.
I think the point is well made.
Thank you.
You're most welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Well, let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good morning, Anne from California. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. I'm afraid I cannot hear you. Could you please turn the volume down or on your television set or radio, whatever, because we are getting an echo on the line from California of all places.
Okay, well, it's a cell phone.
Uh-huh.
Is this any better?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay, why hasn't the African Union Commission of Inquiry on South Sudan been published? That's question one. Two.
I beg your pardon?
Pardon?
I beg your pardon? What is the question?
I'm sorry. Okay. Why hasn't the African Union Commission of Inquiry on South Sudan been published?
Well, we have a copy of a book right here. We have a copy of that particular report right here in the studios, Anne.
She's right. Let me answer her.
Okay, go ahead.
I agree with you, the caller. You are right. The copy I have is a copy which was given to me in confidence. Even members of my movement have not read it. These were the instructions of the African Union. But after it was discussed by the AU Peace and Security Council in New York, they made a resolution that this copy, this report, be made public. I agree with you that it should now be in the internet so that everybody can look at it, because this report becomes part of the peace agreement.
Thank you very much. Let's go to South Sudan, and we have Joseph from Juba. Good evening, Joseph. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Yeah, good morning, evening, Chaka. This is Joseph from South Sudan. I have some questions, actually.
One, please. Just one question, because time is not our best ally, please.
That's fine. Okay, can I be... Okay, when is Dr. Machar be ready to implement the fees? Because it is like now trying to at least talk about President Kiir is not doing this and that. And his position now, as for today, what is he doing to make this peace effective for the people who are actually suffering, as he has just mentioned? And what is the difference between reservations and the challenges, like he has just mentioned before? So we need peace.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, all the way from Juba. And in fact, to add another anecdote to that, the White House says that you, Dr. Riek Machar, have shown an unwillingness to make compromises in the security sector reform negotiations. Is that true? And if true, are you ready for peace?
Obviously, it's not true. We sent a delegation to the workshop. Our delegation debated. Mm-hmm. There are issues agreed by the two parties, mm-hmm. and there are also pending issues not agreed. I talked with Ambassador Booth,
yes,
and told him, look, give us another forum to discuss the issues that are not agreed. We're waiting for that. Shaka, I'm not going to sign my death warrant.
I hear you.
You hear me well.
The question I was going to ask you, in fact, is when do you intend to be back in Juba?
Once the pending security issues are resolved. Now, let me answer the caller.
You have 30 seconds.
Yes. We have nominated our persons to the following institutions: Joint Military Ceasefire Commission,
mm-hmm.
The Ceasefire Transitional mm-hmm. Security Arrangement Monitoring Mechanism,
mm-hmm.
the Joint Evaluation Monitoring Commission. These are three fundamental institutions in implementation of the peace agreement.
Unfortunately,
I will be in Juba once the security arrangements.
Unfortunately, Dr. Machar, time happens not to be our best ally, but thank you for talking to us from the deepest, bitter part of your pagak heart and soul. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guest, Dr. Riek Machar, the chairman of SPRM in opposition and the first vice president designate of South Sudan. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, South Sudan. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.